So there's something interesting that you may not know about my family. Years ago, Kimberly and I named our home. Now, before you laugh, many of you guys have names for your cars. Okay, so don't judge. Now, this is the first house we've ever owned. Being a military family, we lived in military housing. And then when we left the military to go to seminary and work in a church in California, we rented. So this is our first home. And honestly, we'd like it to be our last home. Who wants to move? That's just a lot of work. we have some people who just moved. So the reality, though, is the naming of our home didn't happen right away. I went through a very personal, hard experience about 5 or 6 years into my ministry here and realized that there was something special about the home. So we called our house The Haven. The Haven, H-A-V-E-N. Now, the definition of a haven is, quote, any place of safety and shelter. Any place of safety and shelter. Now, some synonyms for the word haven are retreat, anchorage, cover, like in the military, take cover, harbor, sanctum, sanctuary. Those are all synonyms for the word haven. Now, we want our home to be a space for grace. We want our home to be a sanctuary where God is at work in and through us. A retreat to find rest for the soul, a safe harbor from the storms of life, a sanctum from the insanity of the world, a cover from the attacks of the enemy, a sacred place where we love and disciple our three children to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, additionally, years ago, for those of you who don't know, we're a homeschool family. And so we named our homeschool years ago. Our homeschool is called the Little House Discipleship Academy. The Little House Discipleship Academy, which is right there in the Haven. Now, that name, the Little House Discipleship Academy, merges our family's heritage. I'm the sixth, maybe seventh cousin of Laura Ingalls Wilder. So she's the author of the Little House on the Prairie book series, and we wanted to, that's, you know, our heritage, the Little House books, you know, so that's Little House, and then Discipleship Academy is because we're committed to raising our children in the Lord and discipling them to live in a manner worthy of their calling. So as a family, we have intentionally and diligently sought ways to protect our home to be a home of hope, love, joy, and peace. Okay? To do this, we, as a husband and wife, as two individual people who love Jesus, we have to prioritize our walk with Jesus. That is not my job alone. That is not Kimberly's job alone. That is our corporate responsibility, is to prioritize above all else, Christ in our home. That doesn't happen by accident. Because if you don't have Christ in your heart, then there's no way your home can be a place of hope, of love, of joy, and of peace. You will just allow anything to come in through the various means it can come in. If you don't have boundary principles in place that say this is our priority. Because if you as parents and you as homeowners do not intentionally set the priorities of your home, your kids will, the world will, media will. You're the leader. You're the elder of your home. You set the vision and the mission for it. Your kids don't. Their schedules don't. You do. And in absence of leadership, other things will take over. So we've called our home The Haven. We've called our homeschool The Little House Discipleship Academy because names matter, because priorities matter. Friends, nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by happenstance. And if you're getting results you don't like, it's probably because you have set up a system or a structure that is giving you the exact results you're getting. You need to be intentional about this. So this Christmas, this whole series is about welcoming home the warriors, the Marines, the soldiers. We need to welcome home our warriors so they can find safe places, that your home can be a place where someone who's come back and is in a hypervigilant mindset, who has had hard experiences, can come and find healing for their soul. For those who are weary and heavy burdened, they can come and find rest for their soul. And so this Christmas, with that kind of mindset, I'm inviting you, every single one of you, whether this is your first time here, first time back in a while, or you've been here every single week for a long time, I'm inviting you to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ today. I'm asking you to invite Jesus into your heart. I'm asking you to make a decision to say, Lord, this is the control center of my life. I'm not just saying this boom, 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 muscle that's pushing blood and oxygen through my body. I'm saying I want you to sit in the big chair and be at the helm, to be in the control center of my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Lord, forgive me for the ways I've led my life and the ways I've tried to control my life and the way I've tried to use you to make my life work out for me. Lord, if I want my home and I want my life to be intentionally focused on being this home of hope and love and joy and peace, then I need you, the God of hope and the God of peace and the God of joy and the God of love, to be the one at the center of it. That's the only way that your home can be a place that someone can find healing for their soul, that they can find rest. Because we can't be these kind of people apart from Him. So I'm inviting you to become a person of rest. I know many of you are traumatized, have been hurt, and are living in that hypervigilant mindset of what's just around the next corner, when's the next shoe going to drop? Can I trust this person or not? Am I going to meet my financial responsibilities or not? And you're constantly living in this survival, I've got to get it done, I've got to make it happen myself mindset. But I'm inviting you today to put your faith in Jesus and to find rest for your soul so that your heart and your home can be a place of peace. So, to illustrate this home of joy, open up your Bibles with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Just going to look at one verse from Nehemiah from the Old Testament, and then we're going to go into the Christmas story. And I want to say, as we open up to Nehemiah 8:10, that there is a great joy to be received when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is a great joy to be received through knowing that the God who created the heavens and the earth knows you by name and has willed for you abundance and goodness. There is a joy to be had when you know that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, can live inside of you to counsel you and guide you and help you through all of life's circumstances. It's like building your life upon a rock. You see, God's joy is meant to be a source of encouragement and empowerment through the mountaintops and the valleys and everything in between of your life. Okay, so let's look at this. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Do not, say, then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, now, as many of you know, I've been studying the book of Nehemiah because that's where I'm at right now. We're doing the daily devotional calls for the Seize the Moment devotionals. So it's not by happenstance that we end up here today as I'm in the middle of studying Nehemiah. I want to read to you, just to give you some understanding of this scripture and its context, I want to read to you the devotional I wrote. You're going to hear this again later in the week. Nehemiah 8:10, here's the seize the moment devotional for it. Dry Tortugas National Park. Has anybody ever heard of Dry Tortugas National Park, by the way? It's one of the most, it's in the top 10 of the most remote national parks in our country. Okay, you're going to hear where it is in a second. So Dry Tortugas National Park is one of the most remote parks in our national park system. It's 70 miles off the coast of Key West. Everybody know where Key West is? Very bottom of Florida. You have to drive like over water on bridges to get there. It's ridiculous. I've driven there once. It was weird. Just have to say, honestly, it was kind of crazy. So it's 70 miles. So this national park is 70 miles off the coast of Key West, and you can only get there by seaplane or boat. You can't drive there. As part of its natural wonder and historic significance, Dry Tortugas is the only deep water safe harbor in that whole vicinity, making it a strategic location when ships were off the key, when ships were the key to both commerce and security for our growing nation. So back in the day, when they had to sail around the southern tip of Florida, that was the only deep water safe harbor. Okay, so what did they do? Okay, we're going to see this. For this reason, Fort Jefferson, which is a massive stronghold. So you, when you get home, you can Google Dry Tortugas National Park and look at Fort Jefferson. It's amazing. I've walked around it, through it. How they built it is mind-blowing because they had to bring everything in on ship. Incredible. Incredible feat of engineering. So Fort Jefferson, a massive stronghold, was built on the island to protect American ships and sailors and their allies, okay? So they're protecting this strategic location back in the day. So whether it's from the storms of life or the dangers of enemies, we all need a safe harbor, a stronghold to find shelter or refuge. Inside the stronghold of Jerusalem, okay, now this is now Nehemiah 8, inside the stronghold of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah just led them. They just finished the walls. They just finished the gates. We now have a fortified, secure city once again. So Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, those two books, Ezra and Nehemiah, both in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, taught the nation of Israel where they would find their safe harbor. Okay, this is what they're doing. Nehemiah and Ezra gathered them all together with the priests and said, hey, we now have a fortified location in Israel, okay? There's opposition, there's enemies, but now Babylonian exiles can come back to Jerusalem and we can repopulate Israel, okay? And now what they're saying to them is, this walled city is not your haven. This walled city is not your Fort Jefferson. It's not the most strategic place where you're going to find hiding, okay? This is what he's saying. So if you read verses 9 to 10 of Nehemiah, what they do is they read the Torah. They set up festivals, and they tell the people that the word of God, the law of God, this is your stronghold. This is your safety. Obey God's word. Set up your house in God and in his word, and you will find security. So Nehemiah 8, verses 9 to 10 say, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, because all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. These people had not heard the Torah. They had not heard the words of the law, and their response to it was weeping. Then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, and here's where we're going to come in, okay? The Hebrew word translated strength in this passage in Nehemiah 8:10, which you have heard many times before, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The word strength there in Hebrew, this is fun. It actually means stronghold. It means refuge. It means fortress. The joy of the Lord is your haven. The joy of the Lord is your stronghold. The So in that most strategic place, like off Key West, where the ships had to find a safe harbor from enemies and storms and find security, that was their safety at open sea. What God's word is, what the joy of the Lord is, it's that place of refuge, that place of safety, that place of security that you can be protected, that you can find faith, hope, and love in. And that's what our homes are supposed to be. So I finished my Seize the Moment devotion, which I've been explaining to as I go. The joy of the Lord is both our safe harbor from storms and our stronghold from enemies. As Psalm 18, verse 2 declares, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Did you hear that over and over and again? It's like a staccato. It's like, boom, 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 boom. God is this. God is your refuge. God is your rock. God is your deliverer. God is the one in whom you will find protection and peace. He is your salvation. And then I said, seize the moment and find shelter in the safe harbor of God's joy. See, that's what joy is. Joy is a safe harbor. It's the place you find protection. The joy of the Lord. Our homes are meant to be homes of joy. Our homes are meant to be the safest place you go. It's the place where we raise the next generation to learn values, to be trained and discipled. We partner with you as a church. Your home, you are the primary disciplers of your children, of your grandchildren, of your cousins, of your nieces, of your nephews. If it doesn't happen there, it doesn't really matter what happens here, because we can't undo all that you do. We don't have enough time. Sheer math. Your home becomes a space for grace when you personally become a safe harbor of God's joy. Are you a stronghold of joy? Are you a sanctum of peace? Are you creating islands of serenity for people to come when they enter you into your home? Now the Christmas story, the Gospel of Luke. You heard the youth already proclaim some of this. I want to read to you this wonderful passage. The Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Christ came. The reason Christ came is found right here in verse 10. I bring you the gospel, good news. Gospel, by the way, means good news. I bring you good news. I bring you gospel of great joy. The coming of Jesus Christ is so that we may have great joy. Not just us, but for all the people. Which means our homes need to be a place where joy is exalted, where joy is lifted up, where the good news is experienced. Christ came to bring us great joy. Now, let me do a very quick survey. I'm just going to read to you some passages. I want you to write these down. They're going to be up here as well. First one, Psalm 16, verse 11. "You will make known to me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." In the presence of God, there's what? Why did Christ come? Good news of a great joy. What does God want you to have? Joy. What is joy? Joy is a stronghold, a safe harbor. Joy is a haven. Okay? God wants you to find shelter in Him. in his word, in his ways. And then Psalm 16:11 ends, in your right hand there are pleasures forever. The second one, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. It's a wonderful song. This is the day the Lord has made. That means any day, every day. Every day has the opportunity to invite the Lord in to make his word, his presence, his Emmanuel, his Christmas promise a joy. Third verse, Proverbs 15, verse 13. Here's a very practical one. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. You want to make your home a space for grace? Then bring the joy. Bring the joy to every situation. Because that sadness, that when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Your home to be a place that returning soldiers can find peace and comfort in. We need to make our homes hospitals. Just like we say the church is both a hospital and an outpost. We're simultaneously healing people's wounds while equipping them to go back into the fight. Okay, we're simultaneously a place where you can get help and healing, but we're not going to let you sit here in the pews just to get help and healing. Because that ultimately doesn't help or heal you. Because it just makes you narcissistic. Okay, we want you, though, to get patched up so you can go back on mission. Charlie Mike, it's always about the mission. It's always about them. We are a missional people because we exist for the purpose of God. We don't exist to feel good. We exist to work hard and do the purposes of God. But man, that goes a whole lot better when we're feeling the presence of the Lord. So we got to remember why we exist. We exist because of the mission. Okay, John 17, verse 13. The next verse. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that, this is Jesus speaking, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Why did Jesus come? Jesus is saying right before his crucifixion, John 17 is right before his crucifixion, he is declaring that the reason I came from the Christmas message was to bring joy, good news of a great joy. And what's he saying right at the end of his ministry? He's saying right here, these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full. And that harkens back, like I already said, the one I first read to Psalm 16:11, that in your presence is fullness of joy. Do you see this? That the reason Christ came is because he is the embodiment, the incarnation of the God who is spirit, and he gives us joy. That's the whole Christmas message. That's what our homes are supposed to be. Okay, a couple more. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is like the perfect Advent verse, because it has these hope and joy and peace all wrapped up into it. Galatians 5:22 to 23, the next one. This one I just wanted to show you because I want you to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is not natural, it's supernatural. Joy is a product of God's presence in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. So the other day I said to Jack Hannum, because he took a couple of ladies of ours to the funeral that we attended for Teresa White. I said, Jack, you're a good man. And before he could write back the famous Jesus passage, there's no one good but God, because that's what he would do because he's a pastor. I wrote him and said, you're a good man because you have the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. You can be a good person, but only because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So even though Jesus said there is no one good but God, what does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit give you? Gives you the presence of God. What are we supposed to do in the Christian life? We're supposed to exhibit or manifest the qualities of God. God is the fullness of joy. Jesus came so that we'd have the fullness of joy. Therefore, you should have joy. Joy is your stronghold because God is your stronghold. Don't make anything less Don't put your hope in anything less. I was a very successful athlete, but I made the mistake of making that the center of my life. Wrote a book about that and try to get us back to focus on living according to the promises of God. That's what Live Like a Champion is all about, is you cannot devote yourself to lesser things. It corrupts you. It defames you. It defaces you. It devalues you. You become transactional instead of transformational. You're only as good as your last competition. Every athlete struggles with that. They struggle with this insecurity that if I don't do as good in this game as I did in the last game, then my value is decreased. No, that is so demonic, so worldly. But that's the way we've been taught to live our lives. Your value is based upon who Christ says you are. So live with joy. And bring that every time, no matter what happened last time. Bring it. If you had a bad day with your spouse yesterday, have a better day today. Bad day with your kid, have a better day today. Bad day at work last week, have a better day tomorrow. Stop being defined by the transactions of yesterday and start bringing the transformational power of the Spirit with you. Jack, you're a good man. Not because God lives in you. Does that make sense? That's what Christ came to do, to rescue you from the transactions of worldliness so you can start living by faith. That changes your home. That makes your home a loving place. That makes your home a joyful place. Philippians 4:4. Now this one's impossible if you didn't understand what I just said. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Always means always. You always have a reason to rejoice when your joy is found in the stronghold of God. Because God is with you. That's Emmanuel. The whole Christmas miracle is God who is spirit took on flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel. God is with us. And because he's with us, I do not need to fear. Because he's with us, I can rejoice in all circumstances. Not because what I'm going through is good or easy, but because God is with me. And he changes everything. And then finally, another one, last one, Hebrews 12:2-3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross for the joy set before him. He was on mission. It wasn't a happy occasion. But it was a joyful purpose. Jesus sweat blood with anxiety in preparation for his crucifixion. It was serious work that he was doing. He anguished in going to the cross, but he did it for the joy that was set before him. That's joy. Joy is being in the center of God's will for your life, even when the center of God's will is your suffering, is your crucifixion, your death. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. That is our witness. So, in bringing it to closure, I'm going to land this plane. Joy is not a response to circumstances. Joy is the rock of our well-being. Joy is a firm foundation from which we can experience all other emotions and respond in covenant faithfulness to God according to his promises for our lives. When joy is the deep bedrock of our souls, we can experience the human realities of anger, grief, sadness, you name the emotion. You can experience that emotion without being displaced from the rock of God's joy. Because when you let your life step out of the stronghold of God's joy, all you have around that is nothing but shifting sands. You get sucked into the quicksand of your emotions and of your situations. Why was Peter able to walk on water? Because he kept his eyes on Jesus. What happened as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus? He sank. Same concept here. You can experience the hardships and injustices of real life while finding the security of God's stronghold. And here's the fun part, going back to that dry tortugas imagery. God's stronghold has been strategically built in the only safe harbor to be found in the open seas of life. When you're out in the middle of the ocean and you're trying to get from point A to point B and you've got to go around a lot of stuff to get there and you're got yourself out there and you're in the middle of it, there's only one place for you to find safety and security, and that's in God. Because friends, when you're living on mission and when you're out there getting it done, sometimes you feel very vulnerable, very exposed. You need a safe place, and that's God. The King of Kings to be done for you. That's why he came. And I'm going to conclude by saying this. It takes diligence. It takes hard work to make your home a home of joy. It takes diligence and perseverance for you to become a person of joy, because it's not natural. This is not natural behavior. Natural behavior is grumbling, complaining, and pity parties, and comparison, and you name it. You name all the dysfunctional ways we handle our stuff. That's gravity. But responding in the joy of the Lord, that's supernatural. That's Holy Spirit-led. That's the gospel. That's why Christ came. And that's why your home can't be a haven of joy until you invite him to make your heart his home. I would like you to have a haven for sanity. I really would. I'd like you to make wise decisions. Sane decisions. I would like for you to have a sanctum of peace. I'd like for you to have peace of mind. I don't want any of you to have panic attacks. Don't want any of you to have to struggle with anxiety or depression or fear or insecurity. I know those are real. That's just the world we live in. But I want you to find healing and hope in Jesus this Christmas. I want you to build your life on the only rock that will not fail you when the storms come. And that's the stronghold of joy found in Jesus Christ. Remember, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is not a manifestation of your flesh. Joy is a bit building your life on the firm foundation of this is who I am and this is who my house is built upon. Therefore, we will face all of our circumstances from this platform, this strong stance upon what Christ has done for me. So I'm going to end now by blessing you with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and then the worship team is going to come up and we're going to respond. I love this passage. I'm going to read it from Scripture. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. I want you to hear this as a blessing and as an exhortation, because once again, nothing happens by accident. I mean, as a leader, as an athlete, as a military man, I mean, as in every experience of my life, I have learned that nothing happens by accident. Yet organizations and people get results because that's what they've oriented themselves to get. Even if those results aren't what they want, we've got to change the results. How do you change the results? It's by setting yourself a purpose and a mindset towards what am I really doing? You have to be intentional about this. Your salvation in Christ is secure, but you're not going to necessarily produce all the manifestations of goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control and peace just because you're saved. You've got to intentionally walk with Christ so that the fruit of the Spirit may be made manifest in your life and your home. That's so important for me. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, hear this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your name, Father. Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. May this be done in us and through us for your glory and our good, as we build our lives upon the inexpressible joy of the indescribable gift, who is Jesus the Christ, who came on that first Christmas morning to deliver to us great joy. Father, thank you for the gospel that you have made it available to each of us today. May we build our lives upon this joy so that our homes may be these sanctuaries of your gospel message. In Jesus' name, amen.